Tango Tango Papa 2096, December 26th, 2021.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you once again from vacation. So, today was the day after Christmas, and I made another trip to Best Buy. I'm continuing to work with this OBS, Open Broadcaster software, and as it you know, you've seen me, if you've watched some of the videos, which I'm, you know, kudos to you if you did, because they're sort of torture, as I sort of learn how to make this work, you know, and the only way I can, you know, the most effective way of learning is just to make mistakes, obviously. So, in any case, I figured out that you can actually have a... you know, it has a capability of displaying sort of like, you know, what's the preview, and then you have what's the program, what's being recorded, or it could be streamed. If I ever get into live streaming, then this same software will do both. It'll record and do live streaming. But right now, I'm just playing with the recording function. So. I thought, well, you know, that would be a really good use for a second monitor. So I started out, I had this old, it was probably like a 15-inch monitor, flat panel monitor. The thing's really old and kind of, I forgot how heavy it was. Super heavy. I've had it for quite a few years, but it is a flat panel. And, but it's like a 15-inch, and it's, you know, it's a 3x4, you know, it's not even a widescreen monitor, but, and I, you know, and it's VGA, of course, and I thought, well, I could just use that for the, to as a secondary monitor. Using it that way, then I could just go ahead and put the monitor up on the, up above here, because I don't have a whole lot of room here on my desk because, you know, well, I'll show you.
Remember, trucker...
Whoops, wrong button. What am I doing? I want the scene. Let's see. There we go. Too many buttons. Trying to do too many things at the same time. So you can see, you know, that this desk is like the standard... width of a desk. Let me back up so you can kind of see it. You're seeing it, of course, at an angle. So that's basically a standard desk, like you'd see in an office somewhere, or the width of it anyway. I have this machine. It's actually a gaming machine that I bought sometime back. But the gaming machines also really function well for video, because they, you know, obviously the thing... Apart from all this bling, you know, with the lights and everything, the thing that really sets a gaming machine apart is it's got some really beefy hardware in it, and that's really what you need if you're going to do video. And so anyway, it's kind of setting here, and, you know, so eventually I want to probably get rid of this desk and get something, maybe that has more... desk space, because this thing also, you may be able to see it on the end over here, I'm pointing, there's a hutch, you know, on there as well, and so that also kind of, you know, kind of takes up space and kind of forces everything forward. So eventually I plan on doing something. I've been kind of looking for some time, but so now I probably will go ahead and eventually replace this desk, but it's going to be a major undertaking because this desk has been sitting in this spot for 26 years, and it's not light. And you know, hopefully I can, you know, whenever I do get rid of it, I can get Goodwill perhaps to, or you know, one of those places, the donation places, may be able to come and pick it up. You know, we'll see. But it's actually, the desk is in pretty good shape. I haven't really been tough on it or anything, but it just doesn't quite work for what I want to do with the computing equipment now. But initially I was going to, you know, I had that other monitor, which I've already moved out of here, but I had that other monitor and it was kind of setting up there where you can see this other monitor that I have that I got from Best Buy this evening. Had it up there and I tried, at first I tried a connector, you know, going from a USB-C to VGA, and I'm not sure. I thought, you know, this machine has a USB-C connector on the back, but it may not actually be USB-C. It may be USB something else. You know, I don't know. It may be a Thunderbolt, or you know, it's. But it, you know, I just couldn't make it work. It wasn't recognizing when I would plug the thing in there. It was recognizing the adapter when I would plug it in. But it wouldn't, and it was saying something about USB Billboard 2.0 or whatever, and I have no idea. That was kind of confusing. I tried looking it up, and what I found didn't make a whole lot of sense. So I kind of gave up on that idea, and what I finally, after going through some gyrations, what I finally decided to do, I went back to Best Buy, and I bought a 27-inch Acer monitor. And so that's what you see up here. I'm kind of pointing at it, get my finger pointed right. And so what I was able to do then was just drag the that other screen. It's sort of a multi-view screen. You can see that there are, you know, on the left is the, you're not going to be able to see it very well because the arm here that's holding the microphone is kind of in the way, but on the upper left corner, there's a like a preview. I'm going to sneeze. I think I am. Maybe not. Nope, it went away. I hate that. I would rather just get the sneeze out of the way. It was like, boy, it's going to happen, and then all of a sudden I just, well, sorry. Went somewhere else. So then in the upper right, you have the, that's the actual thing, is the program that's being recorded. And then below that, you've got scene one, which that's the scene that we're not looking at right now because that's the one with the green screen and then the Christmas tree in the background. That's just an image. Then the next one is the actual camera that is being recorded. That's the second camera. And then the third one is just a straight screen capture. So that third one is, you know, if I, you know, on this main screen, if I bring up, let's say, a browser full screen, then it's going to fill that. And then, you know, I would hit scene three and then go to the browser. And so now I figured out actually how I can, show an actual browser window, you know, that's actually live. And so I could be talking and looking at a browser, you know, whatever, and explaining something, which that could be useful to be able to do that. And then plus that leaves five other potential scenes. This program calls them scenes. Leaves five other potential scenes to that are still free that I can do potentially other things with as I become more sophisticated with the software. So now there's one benefit that you're probably seeing already. I'm looking up and it's not like I'm looking down all the time, you know, because prior, there's a tendency with just the single monitor in front of me because of this chair angle. I wish this chair was a little bit higher. guess I could get a pillow and stuff under it, or just get a different. It's really a lousy office chair. I need to get replace it with something that I can jack up a little bit higher. But normally, if I'm looking at the screen like I am right now, it looks like I'm, you know, my eyes are half closed. But if I look up, then it look, you know, you can tell. Now, right now, I'm looking exactly at the camera. But if I look up, then my eyes are open. You can tell that I'm not looking at the camera, but, you know. So, you know, but so anyway, I ended up buying a 27-inch monitor just for this purpose. And, it's, you know, it's kind of nice sometimes to have a second monitor that you can work with. It would be nice if I had more space and I could actually have the monitor, that second monitor, a little bit closer to me, because it's a little bit farther away, but then it doesn't, you know, I'm still able to see it because I have the multifocal panoptics lenses, you know. That's what I got, that I had with the cataract surgery, the panoptics lenses, and because I, you know, they've got all these different focal ranges, everything's sharp, you know, because prior to this, I would have been, you know, the screen here in front of me would have been kind of blurry, and I wouldn't be able to read anything on it, and so I can actually look at the screen in front of me and also look at that screen up on that shelf up there, and and I can still read it. Which is pretty amazing. So everything's nice and, you know, just everything stays in focus with these lenses. So that ended up kind of working out. Now, that was just, that's kind of a happy accident. That's nothing that I planned at all. But that's the nice part about having serendipity, because sometimes things really do end up working out, and you know, there's no way you could plan it. So anyway, so it was a 72 degree day today, and it was actually pretty, there wasn't much wind. There was a little bit more breeze than there was yesterday, but it's 72 degrees, so that was pretty nice. And I don't know what it's, if you know, if it's supposed to be cooler tomorrow or what the deal is. But in any case, you know, that's, you can't complain about it, really. So, but what I wanted to talk about, I had lunch with a friend earlier today, and he was, you know, and we were talking about this and that. And, you know, he kind of mentioned, you know, in the course of the conversation, you know, and we were talking about Christmas and what have you, and people, you know, spent, you know, because he spends a lot of time by himself, and I spend a lot of time by myself, and, you know, and then he was talking about, you know, people that, you know, are really that really become very uneasy when they're by themselves, particularly on holidays. There's a lot of people that really kind of have a problem, you know, and maybe in general, but particularly on holidays, you know, if they're by themselves, you know, and why would that be? Why would that be? You know, now we'll start with me. I enjoy being with people, but I also spend a great deal of time by myself, and so I can just equally enjoy being by myself. It's really not an issue. So, and I think, you know, going into kind of the psychology of it, I think that the reason that I can enjoy just being by myself or with other people, take it or leave it, one way or the other, is because I am not, you know, at this point, I'm not nearly as externalized as perhaps I once was, you know, meaning, you know, and I've talked about this a lot over the years, you know, you have resentment, you know, people just, you know, 99% of people have resentment, because that's that resentment's the vehicle we use in order to play God within our own minds. And so, but if you have resentment, it cuts you off from who you could be. It cuts you off from your natural identity, who you would have been without the resentment. It separates you from what you think of as a guilty conscience. But that guilty conscience is actually not supposed to be a guilty conscience. And, you know, in the ideal state, there is no guilty conscience. It's just the conscience, you sort of reunify with it. Once you get rid of the resentment, you sort of reunify with your conscience. And then there's no more guilt. It's not a guilty, you know, that's the guilt part is sort of an unnatural thing, and that's caused by us trying to run away from conscience, because that conscience is there as a correction mechanism. It's there to correct us. So I'm in a, you know, the condition I find myself in is that I'm perfectly happy being by myself, but I can also, I'm perfectly happy usually being around other people. Now, I do not care to be around, let's say, a large group of people that are drunk. Don't care for that, you know, like family type thing where people have been drinking. And that's happened a few times over the years, and I don't particularly care for that. What ends up happening in that case, I'll just kind of clam up and maybe go, you know, do something else or whatever. But I don't particularly care to, you know, when people get drunk, you know, and they kind of start, they think they're, I don't know, I think they believe in their own minds, and, you know, of course they're deluded because they're drunk, but they start thinking that they're funny or whatever. They start getting loud and laughing at each other's crappy jokes and, you know, whatever. And I don't know, that type of stuff just doesn't appeal to me anyway. You know, it's just, you know, for whatever reason, it doesn't. And so I don't like that, but I it doesn't make me want to flee or whatever, but, you know, I don't like it. But, you know, but generally speaking, I can be happy, you know, socializing, or I can be happy being by myself. Either way, take it or leave it. It's kind of like being able to socialize and enjoying that is sort of like icing on the cake. So, you know, if you have someone that has resentment, they're separated from their conscience, and therefore they end up kind of becoming externalized people, because, you know, once you resent, you begin to absorb your environment, you absorb whatever it is you're resenting, and once you absorb your environment, you know, you become more and more sensitized to the environment, and then, you know, if you suddenly find yourself alone, that can be a problem, because mechanism that you're using, that, you know, to kind of keep the separation going, in this case it would be socializing with other people, the mechanism being around other people, that mechanism to kind of keep the externalized portion going, it ceases to have input, doesn't, because there's nobody else around, and then the conditioning begins to wear off, and you're left with a guilty conscience that you haven't faced, and then also another part of that could be that You have, depending on what the person, what the person has resented, that can also end up factoring into it as well. You know, just the particular thing that they resent or the particular things, because usually it's not one thing. It's, it evolves kind of like snowball rolling down a hill, getting bigger and bigger and bigger, more and more little triggers, more and more resentments. It gets to where, it's just any little thing is a trigger. Then you got to have distractions. And so people use other people as distractions. They use entertainment. You know, there's nothing really wrong with the concept of entertainment. However, you can, you misuse it when it becomes a distraction, when you're trying to distract yourself. You know, you need to, in order to really properly use anything, you have to have a proper relationship with conscience, what you know of as conscience. That, it's a correction mechanism, but not only is it a correction mechanism, but it's a guidance mechanism. It's a fundamental guidance mechanism that will guide you, and it is fundamental, but it will guide you towards meaning. That's really its function. It functions as a correction mechanism, but also to guide you towards meaning. But in order to do that, you have to be unified with it. In order to do that, you can't have any resentment. You can't be playing God in your own mind. I don't know. I think people have a sentimental attachment to, get that word spit out, sentimental. Sentimental attachment to, let's say, like Christmas in particular, or they'll resent that, and then they have a terrible time, being with the other family people. That's the other thing. You know, they don't want to be alone on Christmas, and yet they complain and moan and groan about having to be with family on Christmas, and then you get into these big family arguments where people, sometimes they end up in knockdown, drag out disputes, and people are mad at each other, and it's and that's just the, so they're damned if they, they're in a situation where they're sort of damned if they do and damned if they don't, So it's kind of a very unpleasant place to be, How much better is it if you can enjoy being by yourself, but also enjoy socializing with, any kind of people that you want, the people that you pick and choose to socialize with? Be able to enjoy it. How good is that? And you can kind of take it or leave it, and not end up taking everything personally, because that's another thing that resentment kind of does, is it kind of forces you to end up taking everything personally. And who wants to do that? Who wants to take everything personally? That's a terrible situation to be in. To be kind of be forced to take everything personally, and that's really what happens. That's another part of resentment that I really just now kind of realized. Never really thought about it that way, but it does force you to take things personally that otherwise you could just, it may not even apply to you. Or let's say, whatever, if someone really tries to insult you, you can let it just flow off your back like water off a duck's back. But it does, if you have resentment, it does force you to end up taking things personally. And, resentment is a bad thing. People think it's something great. They think it's, they begin to think that it's going to somehow protect them. So, but it doesn't. It's a very bad thing to be stuck with. So I'm kind of looking at this software. We're getting up. I'm looking at the CPU, and it's like 49% utilization. So I don't know if that's kind of getting up there or not. The video, I'll have to watch this video back, but the video seems to be remaining fairly fluid. I still have 30 frames per second. So doesn't seem to be stuttering. Like I say, I'll have to watch it back. But so having this preview and the second monitor really doesn't seem to be affecting it that much, at least, you know, making, you know, kind of cursory run with it, you know, and it may be that after I watch it back, then I may make further adjustments with it, but so far I'm pretty happy with this setup. And it may not be such a bad idea to have the monitor up there, you know, where I can kind of see what's going on. Because I, instead of looking down all the time, I'm, you know, kind of looking up. But I'm still not looking at the camera. I guess I could move the camera up there. So, or more, well, I guess, yeah, I probably could move. It would be a pain, but I could probably figure out how to raise it up a little bit. Because I got it setting on top of this. It's a 32-inch monitor. Let me switch scenes. So this is a 32-inch monitor, and this one up here is a 27-inch. And, of course, we're seeing everything at an angle. So, you know, it makes it, because of the angle, and it's, the camera's kind of, I'd say it's about a foot and a half off the floor. Well, no, with the little stand that it's on, it's probably about 2 feet off the floor. So it's, the camera is sort of, you know, pitched up a little bit at a bit of an angle so that it kind of, you know, catches me and, you know, the computer and the screens and what have you. So, but anyway, I think this is probably going to work out pretty well. Really enjoying this. And I'm actually, you know, really enjoying doing a podcast every day. Haven't done that for years, actually. And but with it, if you know, it's in this room and I can just leave the thing set up, because this is actually, I have this, you know, I have a 4-bedroom house, and this is the smallest bedroom, and so I've always used this bedroom as a, you know, kind of an office, you know, computer, you know, where I have a computer set up. And, you know, I can just leave things the way they are. And, you know, if I don't want to look at the clutter, just close the door, you know. Because I've got I've got 2,000 square feet. So, you know, and the house is a 2,000 square foot house, and I'm here by myself most of the time. So I've got plenty of other space to occupy without, having to put the computer in my bedroom or whatever. You know, I can have more or less a little dedicated room for this. And so it makes it, by leaving it set up like this, makes it very easy to just come in here and hit record. So that's actually pretty slick. So I'm enjoying this, and I'm actually enjoying getting something out of podcasting every day. And that's one of the things that I kind of missed over the last few years, is being able to do the thing daily. Because I, you know, the more I do it, the more the better it is. Seems like the more I do it, the more I end up thinking about the types of things that I like to think about, and, you know, kind of talking about these things out loud is really a super effective way of thinking. you know, because it's not, you know, people think thinking is just some sort of a silent activity. You can actually think much better if you are actually, you know, let's say writing, you know, and you're trying to write your thoughts out and make them as coherent as possible, kind of going through a writing process, or speaking, because it's the same, it's utilizing the same ability, I guess, to articulate, sort of put words together. So it's very similar, and actually both things seem to end up, you know, helping me to think versus, you know, what, you know, normally passes for thoughts. So anyway, let's see, we've been going for about 31 minutes, so I think I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close for this evening. Hope everyone has had a great weekend. Hope you have a great week coming up, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.